Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
And as ever, we are joined by the vegan. Hi Dave, how are you doing?
Hello, yeah, good, thanks.
So we're going to rely on you a little bit today, Dave, seeing as you were the only one who was at the game on Saturday.
So, well done, lads.
I was otherwise engaged at a VW festival.
Thought you were going to say vegan festival then.
No, definitely not vegan. Mate.
Dave, I could see the jealousy in Dave's face for a moment then. He was absolutely gutted.
You were fucking where? Yeah.
No, mate, I had sausage, bacon and egg every morning for breakfast on the campsite. So definitely not vegan.
His face has changed now, hasn't it? Look at it. I did watch the game via a feed in whilst I was in Cornea, which was a absolutely delightful experience, I thought. Nobody liked me there. I've run into a few old faces, Lee Bowyer.
That's what's going to happen if you keep sending people refs, there.
That guy from Hull. I had to be put in protective custody for most of it because people were trying to attack me. But I'm back safe. I'm back safe and sound now.
Yeah. So I also watched the game. I think we were in somewhere near Macclesfield, that the Macclesfield
vegan capital of England.
Yeah. And had really bad 3G, so my feed was very jumpy. But we'll do our best to talk about it. But we might be relying on you, Dave, for expert analysis.
Well, I don't know how much expert or analysis I can provide on it, but it was a great game, and you know, to see Stansfield score like that in the dying minutes was fantastic. Those that actually stayed around in the stadium. I think we all said last week it was probably going to be one of the toughest games which Blues
faced. I got the prediction right. Just
you did. Yeah. I was going to say it wasn't 4-0, but
could have been.
I had it down. Could have
kind
been.
Of panned out been. How I expected it to pan out as well, actually. There's some finish that was Bergkamp, Cantona, Gaza.
Lots of comparisons, hasn't there?
I thought it was probably going to be goal of the weekend, and then I saw the Blackburn one. Have you seen that one where he juggled it into the box and smashed it past the keeper? Some questionable goalkeeping. Well, you've not seen it, I'm guessing.
No, I watched the EFL show on ITV as well. I must have missed that. I've slept since then, at least once.
Incredible goal. If it wasn't for that one, then Stansfield was definitely goal of the weekend, I think. But
I think considering the changes we had to make to the starting lineup, you know, Plymouth, to their credit, looked fantastic for a lot of the game. I think second half particularly, they dominated it, and I don't think anyone would have necessarily seen us going on to get that. Last minute or whichever minutes, fifth or sixth, fourth minute, I think, of it, injury time.
It was in the last minute. It was in the fifth.
I thought they were great. I thought they played some outstanding football. I was really impressed with them. And it wasn't just them knocking it around the back all the time either. They did play on the front foot in that second half. And I'd say that they probably dominated about three quarters of that game for me. I think we had a good spell at the beginning, a good spell just after they scored, and then had a little spell towards the end as well. But they played some lovely football. They can feel rightly aggrieved by walking away from that from the second week in a row with a late goal against them, where they walk away with no points.
Just to compound that, last night against Crystal Palace, they I think did they have a 2-goal lead? Was it a 1-goal?
2-0 up, and then 2-0 up, yeah. Crystal Palace made a triple substitution, and yeah, I think it was 4-2 in the end, was it, or something? Yeah. But
smashed them. 3 goals in about 10 minutes, wasn't it? Or something.
Yeah. Against Crystal Palace, you can kind of accept that, I think, and maybe even Southampton. But I mean, we to be fair, although we didn't have a lot of the ball, I think it's probably like 30% of the ball or something. We did play some nice stuff in the final third. We were quite sloppy, I think, certainly around the back and in midfield quite a lot, but Anderson, I thought, was very, very good. Buchanan behind him played really well. Stansfield, saying, I think it was written that he was going to score. Exeter fan, obviously rivals with Plymouth. He's probably had dreams about scoring against Plymouth. big dreams. But yeah, I mean, I felt quite uncomfortable throughout a lot of that game because I felt like, although they only scored one goal, I felt they looked quite dangerous on the attack quite a lot, I thought. And we didn't really deal with it particularly well. They got in between Bakuna and Sanderson a lot. I think that was probably one of Sanderson's tougher games. I think Long and Buchanan on the other side defence would, for me, looks a little bit more comfortable. I think Ruddy maybe could have done better with the initial shot that he scored from the rebound as well.
100%. And I think he'd admit that as well.
So certainly we have to, for our next league game, shall we say, probably have to improve quite considerably there. It was quite uncomfortable at times, but again, didn't play great, still created quite a few opportunities. I think we had a better XG rate than Plymouth as well. I think ours was like 2.2 or 2.18 to their 1.44. So on that basis, if people want to take that into account, then we probably deserved to win. I think
let's not forget to mention Hogan's goal, you know, cracking cross by Miyoshi.
Another nice move. Anderson, nice through ball, Miyoshi, and a perfect ball across for Hogan, who has now got 2-2, which is the sort of run he normally goes on.
He'll get to 10 and then he'll stop scoring when I put a bet on him to be the top scorer.
Well, maybe don't put a bet on him.
I was going to, so you've touched on Anderson, said that he was fantastic. I thought he was. He was in the first half, certainly, he was key to a lot of stuff that was going on for Blues. He made the key pass to Miyoshi for the Hogan goal. He also played Miyoshi in for a really good opportunity that we could have scored from. I thought in the first half, I actually think we were a bit better in the first half from what I saw than you gave us credit for. Second half, I thought we went off the boil a little bit. That's when I thought the goal was probably, you could see it coming at that point.
Oh yeah, 100%.
But how many times do we go on and lose that game? Or how many times do we get nothing out of that game and it just goes on? This season, there's that little bit of fight and a little bit of quality that enables us to go on and win the game. We haven't seen that for so long.
Oh yeah, 100%. And there's a difference in attitude from the players. There's a difference in quality as well. I think there's a big thing we've got now is multiple difference makers in the final third, which we've never really had before. You kind of always been reliant on one or two players. We've got 3, 4, 5 players that could come on, make a difference, have an impact. Say Anderson, I thought was fantastic. Helped out a lot by the fact that Buchanan gave him a lot of protection down that left hand side as well. You're 100% right. In the past, we lose that game or we draw it. Probably lose it in reality, and we certainly don't create as many chances as we had, despite the fact we didn't have that much of the ball. So yeah, completely agree with that. And again, Eustace was said already frequently over the past few weeks, not scared to make attacking substitutions to try and change a game, to do something, utilize his bench, utilize his squad to try and claw something out of the game that looks like it might have been slipping away otherwise. So fair play to him as well. Fair play to Gardner and McParlin for bringing in the match winner as well. Jay Stanfield, yeah. So as they, it's quite Craig Gardner beating off a lot of people to get him through the doors at St Andrews. He must have some set of wrists on him. That stamina that boy's got is incredible.
I'm not sure it's that type of beating off, mate.
That's how I read it, Chris. So that's how I'm taking it. Okay. Yeah. And you know, whatever he has to do to get players through the door, he's got a very busy few days. If his arms end up in a cast on Saturday morning, got no problem with it. As long as we strengthen the squad.
You're not suggesting he's going to be like sat on the, in the middle back seat of cars, are you?
He'll be breaking world records. Left hand, right hand, breaking Beat. World records, beating as many people off as possible to get players through the door.
Anyway, shall we move on?
It's happening.
I was actually going to say something when you've just mentioned about Eustace not being afraid to make the changes. To try and win games, and you're absolutely right, and we have mentioned it before. However, I thought on Saturday, we've literally thrown every roll of every dice that we could, and I just didn't think it was going to happen, but it did. And I genuinely think that it's connect. There's a feel good factor around the Blues, and I genuinely think that the mentality that they go out there with rubs off on them on the pitch.
There's a belief. Yeah.
There definitely is. And there's a whole huge difference all around the place. And it's fantastic.
In the league.
In the league. Yeah.
In the league, which brings us nicely on to the following game.
I was going to say, before we get onto the Cardiff game, let's get some 15-second opinions in.
Yeah, go on then.
15-second opinion.
I'm your biggest fan. I'll follow you until you love me. Koji, Koji Miyoshi.
Hi, lads. It was a tough game against Plymouth, so to grab all 3 points right at the death, even with square pegs in round holes, was fantastic. And how about that for a touch and finish from Jay Stansfield? Superb. Keep right on.
Hi guys from sunny Cyprus, hope you're all well. Lovely work on the podcast. Absolutely delighted with the result of the weekend. I must have watched that Jay Stansfield finished about 500 times on repeat. Little concerned about the squad depth that we've got now. Few injuries, or a few more injuries, and now a suspension to Djukovic after the game yesterday. It's going to be interesting to see how we react in the transfer window. Keep right on, guys, and I'll see you soon.
Hello, Blue Nose. It's Chris O'Brien here. Just been back from the Cardiff match at home in the Cup. Bit of a reality check in some respect. If we do get some big injuries this season, basically we've got the next 24 to 48 hours to get some bodies in for strength and depth, really. Shame we lost, but we got onto the league on Saturday and we beat Gay Rowitz Millwall. All the best. Keep right on.
Can people stop saying that they're happy to just go out of the Cup? I mean, who do we think we are? Everyone's been brainwashed by Man United and all the other massive clubs who changed their 11 and don't give a shit about the League Cup because they've got Champions League games to play. Well, we've got Millwall Saturday and then they've got 2 weeks off. Why is it so much effort to play one more game before a two-week holiday? Professional athletes, they've had a whole summer of getting fit. They've played 4 games and now we have to rest them all so we can get knocked out of the Cup by a Cardiff team that don't even play a centre-half. Listen, I'm not moaning. I'm really happy about how the season's gone. But people are absolutely mental to sort of just be happy with going out of the Cup. A Cup that we won. People keep slagging it off. It's a shit Cup. Get out of it. You want to remember, this is the only Cup we've ever won and we won it, what, 12 years ago? It's the one we lord over everyone else. We want to take it a bit more seriously and put some respect on it. Anyway, over the fucking Blues.
So we did say that it was 15-second opinions, and that's about a 55-second opinion. but I'll allow it because I think that it does raise a very valid point. But let's talk about the other stuff first. Squad depth. It's one massive thing that the Cardiff game has shown up, I think, that to be fair, the previous Cup game did as well. We just haven't got players that we can bring in. We mentioned before that we can't really rotate the defenders at the back. We're just going to struggle a little bit. They're trying to add to it. For me, I think it's probably a bit of a blessing that we're out of the Cup and we haven't got a we haven't got that situation where we need to play more games.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken about it a few times. The amount of injuries we've already picking up for games into the season or 5 games into the season, whatever, obviously quite a concern. I think Mark Roberts, only just back from injury as well, probably would have started that had he been back a few weeks. We lost George Hall in that Cardiff game as well, who had just come back from injury, from multiple injuries that he keeps getting as well. So I can sort of understand the reasons behind why they've done it. I mean, we've spoken about it before. I get where the listener's coming from and putting more respect on it, etc. We obviously wouldn't. We could put a strong squad out there and win that game, but the chances of us actually getting anywhere close to the final again in the current climate, it's very, very slim. I do get that, you know, there's an international break coming up and we've only had a few games, and I do get his comments about being professional athletes, but we've already clocked up so many injuries that you've got to try and, you know, protect some of them, because we don't want to go into that Millwall game or beyond that with more injuries piling up with important players. I said to you, well, I think you said to me, it's almost like treat it like a friendly.
Glorified friendly.
Glorified friendly, yeah. And that's kind of what it was for me. And, you know, if I don't think we are disrespecting it at all. I do completely understand where he's coming from, but our bread and butter is in the league, and, you know, we've had a really, really good start. I don't see the need to jeopardize that any more than...
I'm completely with you. I wouldn't sacrifice the league game on Saturday. I wouldn't sacrifice any injuries or anything for that game over progressing and probably who are we going to draw? Probably get Blackburn or someone. I don't know who's through.
Knowing our luck, but yeah.
Yeah, I reckon it'd probably be a really shit draw. Yeah, it is a few extra games, but with the squad that we've got, I don't think that we've got the squad to handle a few extra games squeezed in. And if we can... the schedule's crammed enough as it is with when the season starts and finishes, and I know it's better than last year with the World Cup in it. Was that last year? Year before?
Yes.
Was it last year?
Yes, it was. Oh, yeah,
it's all merged into one. But the schedule's busy. The schedule's hectic. I'd maybe say give the FA Cup a bit more 100% of a go.
Because there's money spending ties in that one as well, potentially.
Earlier as well.
Yeah. What I will say is, getting beat last night 3-1 in the manner we did. So I only watched the highlights, so I wasn't there. Spoken to people that were there, obviously looked at some of the statistics as well. Looks like we were pretty poor for the most part, and Cardiff again sort of dominated us on our own turf. It was there pretty much second. I think they made 10 changes. Chadwick was on earlier.
They didn't have a centre half playing or something.
Didn't have a centre back. No, they played two right backs and two midfielders, I think. Two full backs and two midfielders or something at the back. Maybe actually getting beat and dominated by Cardiff sends that message to the recruitment team, to the board, to say, actually, we need a little bit more help here if we want to strengthen this squad and be competitive this year. We're probably already punching above our weight given the league, where we are in the league at the moment. And I know we're only just a handful of games in, but we're riding the crest of a wave at the moment. We want to try and continue that good form. Maybe it does send the message to the people that make those decisions that actually we could do with another two or three, maybe even four players. I mean, that might be
pushing it,
being a little bit wishful thinkful, wishful thinking, pushing it. But maybe it's actually said, let's made them think maybe we need one or two more players beyond what we were originally going to go for before Friday. Not long to go now, though.
Yeah. Well, we had heard that they were maybe looking at two loans and potentially a permanent. You might think that might mean now that sort of depth that's needed, maybe try and bring in a couple of free transfers as well, free agents that are out there floating around. Who knows? We've only got a few days to wait and see, haven't we? So
the problem with free agents is that they're never going to come into the club or as match fit. So really they need a mini preseason to get match fit. So you're already up against it with people that, you know, they might have been training at home or, you know, personal trainers, et cetera, but it's not the same as playing multiple games of 90 minutes or whatever. So they're going to be a little bit behind as well. So, but there are a lot of free agents out there at the moment. I had a quick look on Transfer Market a few times over the past few weeks. One of the players that I've been keeping an eye on actually was mentioned this week as linked to us as well, which we'll get onto in a bit. But yeah, there's loads of free agents at the moment of a fairly good quality as well. So I think it would be remiss of them to just completely dismiss anyone on the market. I'm sure they're scouring it either way.
Two of the talking points from the game, gents. Hogan on the score sheet again. That's one positive, I guess, we can take from that. And obviously, it's inevitable we've got to talk about the red card as well. I think the consensus is it was a pretty light red card, but the club decided not to appeal it. Should we be appealing?
No.
Decisions like that, or is it just not worth it?
I think that's one of those decisions where it's difficult to overturn it. I don't think it was a red card personally. I think it was a silly challenge. It's not a red card, but once it's given, I don't think that they can overturn it.
From my point of view, we only get one view of that as well. From talking and seeing a few other people from the other side of the stage and said it looked a little bit more dangerously, maybe a little bit higher up as well. The thing for me that kills this, kills any appeal, is the intent from Duke, which is completely uncharacteristic of him. He slipped over. I think he thought he'd been fouled, but I've watched that back so many times and can't see any foul there. He just looks like he just lost his foot. Turned around and he had no intention of going for that ball. He's just gone for the player. The referee is, 5 yards away from him? Something, I think, roughly. For me, can totally understand why they've given a red card. Whether it deserves a red card or not is another question, but I completely understand the club not appealing because the intent, it's technically dangerous play as well. So I understand they're not appealing. 3 games without him, which isn't ideal, but in theory, we've only really been using him for 15, 20 minutes at the end of each game anyway, if you don't include the cup game, which we lost comfortably to Cardiff and the referee. So, you know, I've got no problem with the club not appealing it. No problem at all. I don't think they would have. I don't think that they may have ended up getting it extended to 4 games potentially. I don't know. So I don't have an issue with them not appealing.
So the one positive, Chris, Hogan went on his way to his 10th goal now.
Well on the way. I won't be betting though. And to be fair, the bet that I put on was to finish the league top scorer, so that wouldn't have counted anyway.
Back-to-back goals for him now, though.
Yeah, well, it's fantastic to see him hitting some form. There's probably an element of him knowing that his place is under threat, that the hard work that he has done, someone coming in after that now has come in. He scored on Saturday, but he's also seen Stansfield come in and score a belter as well. So I think there's probably that. I mean, there's every chance that they might work together well as well.
Well, Stansfield said in an interview with Alex Dickin today or last night that he thinks his best position is as a 10. And John Eustace last week said he thinks he's Stansfield is going to be used anywhere across that front four. It's quite good versatility.
Yep.
I think he scored most of his goals and made most of his assists at Exeter as playing off a second striker, playing off Sam Nombe, who we may talk about shortly as well. So I have a feeling that that's where they're going to probably want to try and utilise him. And it's not completely out of the question that Scott Hogan might have another striker breathing down his neck at some point in the next few days as well.
I think the only other thing to talk about from the 15-second opinions was maybe that Miyoshi song.
Maybe no comment.
Maybe actually what we do is we invite him to submit another version next week, maybe with another track. Maybe, you know, go away, have a think about it. Try again next week.
It doesn't have to be Miyoshi. It could be anybody. But yeah,
I mean, you know, we don't have to restrict it to a Gaga song.
You're not restricted to small Japanese people. You can do a song about whoever you want, as long as they're a blues player. So obviously, I'm back from corner now, as we've already discussed.
Time to spend time of the week.
Yeah, it's time to send somebody else. I did tidy up my room on my way out, so don't worry.
Aye, aye, aye. Send him to Cornea.
Well, we get Matthew back this week. We're actually replacing him with probably tens, maybe hundreds of people that left St Andrews early against Plymouth and missed the Stansfield goal. Don't leave games early.
This is a tough one, though, because people have trains and stuff to get. And now with the added stoppage time and the longer half-time breaks, people have to get home.
Two things here, right? Firstly, I literally had to run through Digbeth to get my last train back because of rail strikes. So, you know, I managed to stay and do it. I will admit that me and Matthew did have a thing where if we went 4-0 down, we would just walk out anyway.
Did it get to a point where it used to be like, it kind of dwindled down as the times got worse? It was 3 and then it was 2. And if you're losing by half time, I'll see you in the rainbow.
There were many times where literally, you know, we just found Matthew, you know, drunk in the rainbow, moaning the state of things.
There was that time when I wasn't drinking, and I think it was the Bournemouth game, and I think I don't know what the score, it was maybe 2 or 3-0, and we decided just to leave, and by the time we'd got home they'd scored 8. We still continued to listen to it on the radio, which made it the worst. It's like, what's the point?
We get your point. Some people have travel arrangements. Some people have to leave. But, you know, if you've got to leave 10 minutes early, 15 minutes early, that's one thing. But, you know, there's if you're there towards the end, you know, if you're there 99% of it, just hang around till the end.
If I don't have to leave for a reason, then I stay. So you're preaching to the converted. But I know that a lot of people do have now that the kickoff times are delayed and like second half she's delayed, and then there's the extra stoppage time and stuff. Now I know that people are going to find it more difficult with train times and buses and stuff, so I know that a lot of people will have to go and get them.
But Blues just really need to help us by maybe being 3-0 up and not drawing or losing into the final minutes. If they actually go into that 90th minute with a comfortable lead, you know, then it's fine. People can leave when they need to.
So would you sacrifice, you'd sacrifice last minute goals just so everyone can get home safely?
I'm all about people getting home safely. Yeah. Target 0. Yeah, 100%.
Aye, aye, aye. Send him to Cornea.
Now, someone else that we could have sent to Cornea as a collective, which Just Sport Group, who have shown their true colours this week and been called out for it.
Or lack of true colours.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Gary Cook put a statement out to the fans that we're basically not getting any more shirts, which fucks our competition up a little bit because there might not be any home or away shirts in stock. While we're on that point, actually, we're going to pop the keyword for week two in here. So if you play in the competition, the key phrase for week two is says. S-A-Y-S, says. Anyway, third kit.
Yeah, interesting. Is it going to be a template, do you reckon? Is it going to be something a little bit jazzy?
Green, I'm interested. Lion.
It's going to be a pink tiger. Salmon.
Pink salmon.
Pink salmon, third strip.
Wouldn't mind a pink.
It smells like salmon as well.
Ultimately, the fact is we don't need a third kit.
We don't.
Because we're not going to clash with anyone. Maybe if we played Palace and...
Oh, in the next round of the cup. That, yeah, oh, fuck, we're not in it.
The FA Cup. Okay. But ultimately, we don't need a third kit. But I think what they've done is gone, look, we can't do anything about this because this deal was done before we were in charge.
And it was based on previous sales and stuff as well. So taking that into account...
We've only got ourselves to blame.
But it was based on sales at a time when things were shit.
Yeah, but obviously the shirts, designs, etc. were agreed way before the new lot came in. Obviously the sponsor's slightly different, but
we spoke about this a few weeks ago on the podcast and said...
We did mention it was going to happen, didn't we?
Yeah. If you remember, we said Americans saying they want to get the Tom Brady shirt. Now that he's come along, they go online, they can't order it because it's sold out because they ordered too few of them. Ultimately, it's happened. Just Sport Group obviously haven't pulled their finger out and said, yeah, we'll get some more sorted, or they can't get them sorted for whatever reason, but we're getting a third kit. I don't know whether the third kit is coming through Just Sport Group or whether we're going direct to Nike to sort it. I'd imagine it's probably a Just Sport thing. It's just farcical. I mean, we spoke about Just Sport, I think, when they'd first signed the deal with Blues, or Blues just signed the deal with them. And we predicted that this type of thing was going to happen. There have been Preston, Portsmouth, Sunderland have all been with them. And everyone's had bad experiences. All of their fans, their forums and stuff, they all have bad experiences with Just Sport. So whoever signed that deal with Just Sport, they should have gone to Cornell. Months and years and years and years and years ago.
They did, I think, didn't they?
Do we know how long it's left on this deal?
This is the last season. Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get a decent deal sorted. I mean, Gary Cook obviously has a lot of connections with Nike, and I think he's sort of insinuated that the Nike partnership is going to grow stronger. You never know if that means that we get one of these deals where the stuff is custom made and the nice badges and a decent kit, then, you know, we'll give it a go. And if it works out well for the club, then so be it. I mean, I think I've said before, I'd rather us go the sort of Hummel or Umbro or even Castore now, who are doing a lot of shirts. Where you get a bit more bespoke stuff. But if there's a deal there with Nike, you know, they're massive in America, so it's one of them.
Cook's already hinted at the partnership with Nike anyway, hasn't he, in that
I just said
media.
That.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. So I don't expect we're going to be seeing anybody else.
No.
We just need rid of Just Sports, don't we?
Get them gone.
Okay, gents, very quickly. Favourite previous third kit?
Oh, good one. Recently or ever?
I think we can go back as far as ever.
In my time, I don't know, silver and black auto windscreen, stripy shirt. Ooh, actually, no, maybe we had the pink and black one, Deodora one, during Lee Clark's era, didn't we?
Yes, I wore that to football a few weeks ago and everyone was like, oh, I like that top. Yeah. I was like, yeah, this is quite old.
I think I might go that.
That was a good top. Because there was a... Was there a pink black, one with...
The black with pink and then pink and then with black.
Black, yeah.
Pink with black was 2012-13, wasn't it?
I can't remember the year.
Lee Clark, Easy Group. Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had that black one was lovely. The season before that, the yellow third strip we had for the European Games.
Was that the war? The year that we didn't wear the away kit, we just wore the third kit.
Which was also very nice, that away top that I still have as well with no, but I chose it because we got the option of having no sponsor on it. And I quite like that. X step, wasn't it, those ones?
Yeah. Yep.
We were still they make a lot of kits for the teams in the Saudi league. Did you know that? Yeah, they're the second biggest kit manufacturer in the world, I think, Xtep. But I think it's based on the fact that it's obviously Asia and Saudi and stuff. So
what about you then, Dave?
Well, I was going to pick the one which Matthew has just been talking about, which turns out was never a third kit. And the just similar to your 95-96 black and silver one, there was a 96-97 black and blue vertical stripes, which is another lovely auto windscreen Zera looking shirt. Badge in the centre, pony as well. That's a beauty of a shirt.
If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to like, share and comment on social media.
And if the podcast platform allows it, please rate and review us.
Cheers, guys. So, Chibi, transfer rumours?
It has been rife this week since Stansfield Monday morning started. It kicked off with a whole load of them. But Saturday or Sunday, I think, we were linked to Sam Nombe from Exeter, who had scored 15 goals for Exeter last season. Ironically partnered Jay Stansfield up front for them last season. That came from the Not the Top 20 podcast Twitter account, who have this season been dropping a few Not the Top 20 bombs. Doesn't really roll off the tongue, that one, does it?
It's no Wolf bomb.
They've had a few, right? I don't know where that nothing really seems to have come from that from anywhere else. It seems mostly the links I've seen appear to be with Rotherham. It hasn't really gone anywhere, but he looks like, 24 years old, mobile striker, quite quick.
Was it them that said about Panzo going to Cardiff?
Going to Cardiff, yeah, which again still hasn't happened
yet.
No. He's another one we've been linked with again. Along with Cardiff, West Brom, and a few others. But Nottingham Forest are well over their squad numbers, so they need to be selling players now as opposed to loaning players. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I think that one may have died a death for us, personally. Don't see the Sam Nombe one happening either, unless it's a last minute thing. We were linked with Ben Johnson from West Ham, along with Southampton and Middlesbrough. Versatile defender, plays right back, left back. He can play centre back. He is too good for the Championship, I think. I don't think David Moyes wants him to go, but he won't sign a new contract because he wants to play football regularly somewhere. That would be a dream of a signing. But you've got to wonder,
if we were to sign him, we want a strong squad, right? That'd be great. I don't think we can keep everybody happy or rotate enough to keep people happy. I think he's probably a little bit out of our price range as well. If he goes, I think he really should still be playing in the Premier League personally as well.
So that Ollie Burke one might come back around the next few days. There was obviously the Fabrizio Romano, not with a here we go, which might have been key. I'm gonna fuck this up as well now. Emmanuel Owu,
yeah. So that followed on from a few days before the Daily Mail had said that he had bought into the Tom Brady project and he'd be
Tom Brady Birmingham.
Yeah, it's very yeah. He's completely sold on it, and he'll be the everything project. Was agreed. And he'll be coming to see a lot of people using that now as well, Chris. I think they're ripping you off with no credit.
The project. Yeah, Lamad, you should have gone to Corner as well.
he's used it on SHA as well, and they give him a nice verbal pat on the back for it. Fuck, never mentioned you again there, Chris. Yeah. Taking credit for your hard work, which I think came from my original whisper on the podcast anyway.
It did.
So, fuck it. Yeah, interesting one, because the Mail said, he'd be travelling to Birmingham to finalise a deal. And then a few days later, he was on the bench for Cremonese. Fabrizio Romano, as you say, said everything's agreed.
As I tried
without
to say.
The here we go. Is that?
As I tried to say.
As you tried to say. Yeah. He'd be travelling for a medical. Maybe a little bit difficult with the current issues with air traffic control. Whatnot.
Oh, it's not. Private jets. Private jets haven't got any problems.
I don't know. I don't know how often these guys travel on private jets to sign for a championship team.
If money is there to be made, they'll get them there.
Yeah, potentially.
not potentially. That's not like a Salah reference, is it? Potentially get them there.
Absolutely not a Salah reference.
We've got to assume that Brady's got a private jet now that we can now utilise.
Maybe. I think he potentially.
If anyone's going to have one.
So with Owu, I'm a little bit confused because a lot of people are saying it's happening. He was at the ground last night and there's been pictures floating around. Not 100% convinced myself. Haven't heard anything from anybody I know. That doesn't mean anything. I don't think you've heard anything either, have you, Chris?
No, not yet.
What I do like about the signing, the potential signing, is, okay, predominantly a centre-back, ball-playing centre-back, very comfortable on the ball. He's quite similar to Sanderson, I think, in terms of sort of a high interception rate and good, I think they call them ground jewellers now, do they? Not dominant in the air.
Who calls them that?
Me, apparently. Okay. Not as dominant in the air as you'd like from a centre-back. He's also played a little bit at right back, although not as much as people seem to think. As people seem to refer to him as a right back and a centre back, I think he's played about 5 games. Played a lot more games in centre midfield than I realised. Versatility again. Spoke about it with Jay Stansfield in those forward roles. Someone that can play centre back, right back, centre midfield. By making one signing, you're almost filling 2 or 3 gaps in your squad on one wage. And I don't think he's a high earner for Cremonese. They would have got relegated as well, so they probably would have, his wages would have dropped down. The 3 million seems quite high for me. Depends how they structure it, obviously, with PNS. You know, you can
spread it over the length of the contract, and it can make it less painful.
And if that 3 million that's been talked about is a package.
Yeah, I'm struggling to believe that that's up front. It's probably half and then half based on appearances, whatever. Apparently he's highly rated. I have to wonder why he's been punted out to every team in the Championship and lower half of the Premier League if he's really highly rated, and why still nobody's taken him on. Is it down to character? Is it just down to the fact that he's actually not as good as people think? Is he quite picky about where he wants to go? I mean, if he came and watched that game last night, I wouldn't be surprised if he was back home in Italy.
Yeah, he's gone back on his private jet and gone back.
Yeah. Which, worth mentioning, he's not in the Cremonese squad this evening. Currently playing at the moment as we record this.
Yeah.
So
as far as we were aware, though, the medical that was supposed to take place yesterday didn't happen.
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
Not that you're aware of. Not that anyone else we've spoken to is aware of.
No.
But there seems to be a general consensus on Twitter that he's had a medical and it were due to announce it. I've seen some people say, or maybe we'll just wait till Friday to keep the excitement levels and the mystique behind it. I don't think that's going to happen either.
They do well to keep it under wraps. Because do you remember when Pedersen joined and someone saw him in walkabout in Solihull?
There was that. Well, that day, I remember that because he'd posted something on Instagram of he's sitting in a bar, and we had managed to figure it out from the view out the window that he was sat in Solihull.
Someone had seen him. Was it?
No, it was an Instagram picture. It put it on a story.
Yeah.
And we'd taken a photo and we'd had a discussion. And I think it was you that worked it out in the end where he was.
Yeah.
He's probably somewhere where he knew he could play shuffleboard or something.
I don't know if he can there.
maybe not.
Couple more names.
So Reggie Cannon. What a name, by the way. Right back, American. He's one of the ones. Yeah, I've been keeping an eye on him for a few weeks. Contract dispute, Boa Vista. Been released now. Was highly rated when he was younger. Not sure what he's like now. I think he can play centre back as well as right back as well. Very, very quick. Like he was shot out of a cannon. Because he's American, I kept going back to check to see if he'd signed for anyone, because I had a feeling that we might, like, I still think we will sign at least one American over the next 18 months. I can see it happening. Maybe someone, maybe more young, up and coming. But yeah, still got an eye on him. I think that for me would make sense. And I think the owners might be keen on that as well. Yeah. Don't know what you think about that.
That wouldn't surprise me. That genuinely wouldn't surprise me. And do you know what? If there's an American to come in to get on board with the project and sell it over there, why not? You'd probably think that they'd want someone at international level, so that there's a fairly big name.
I mean, he is an American international.
Is he current?
He's currently not playing for anybody.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
I can tell you one player to keep an eye on for future reference. Won't happen this season. There's a young Mexican-American called Diego Luna, not the guy that was in Star Wars. Attacking midfielder, winger, forward, plays for USA under-20s. Keep an eye on him. Diego Luna. I'm going to call it now. At some point in the future, we will be linked to him.
You think we'll be linked to him?
You're not
calling it as like a Bayern Munich or a Dortmund or something like that.
He's gonna be linked to us. Whether or not he signs us, I don't know. But I feel it in my weary, weary bones. Currently playing for Real Monarchs, apparently, who are a subsidiary of real Salt Lake. Anyway.
What was the guy from Brighton? Is it Brighton?
Yeah, Andy Zakiri. Striker, mobile, big, strong, eye for goal. Spent last season on loan at, in the Swiss League, I think. Scored quite a few goals. For me...
Do it.
Would be brilliant. Another one that was in the media that he was sold on the project.
The project.
Still not here though, is he? So
get it done.
Interesting.
There was also a last one, I think. Keenan Davis.
Today.
Yeah, he was apparently a week ago he was going to Hull and it was all done and dusted. That might have been not the top 20 podcast as well that put that out there. But yeah, we heard that there was an interest from Blues, but that yep. the fee might be a bit off-putting for us, the fee that they want.
Villa are standing firm on 2 million. No messing around with add-ons, stuff like that. They want 2 million and quite a high sell-on clause, which, you know, it's their prerogative. It's fair enough. He needs to move on. I don't care if you play for Villa. I've said this before. He's not a Villa fan either. He's from Stevenage or Hitchin or somewhere like that, out that sort of way. So no concern there for me. My understanding is that he'd probably quite happily talk to Blues, but I think he's got other ideas. Obviously doesn't want to go to Hull because Hull have agreed terms with Villa and met the fee and been given options to, he's been given the chance to talk to them. Yet he's still undecided. I think he ends up somewhere like Swansea, potentially. They are looking for a replacement for Joel Pirot, who scored for Leeds, I think, on his debut after moving from Swansea last week. So it wouldn't surprise me. They've got a little bit more money floating around there as well. I think if we were to try and sign him for that fee, we'd be looking at multiple add-ons or just different, a more creative way of doing it. Yeah, so we'll see if anything happens with that one. But the good news is, it looks like we're definitely looking for a big mobile striker that can play as a proper number nine.
It's been too long. Anyway, Wagner of the Week.
Wagner of the Week.
Right, come on then, lads. Who have we got? I think I know where this is going to go.
One man for the job.
Any names then?
95th minute winner.
95th minute winner.
Managing director of Just Sports.
No, absolutely not. But absolutely not.
We'll go with the same initials. J Stansfield. There can't be any other choices.
No, Matthew's got it right. You know,
seeing that right.
Yes, what do I win?
I don't think there's any other contenders this week. It's got to be Stansfield for that injury time winner.
I haven't been around this week, so Stansfield, why not?
Okay, gents, and finally probably this week, looking ahead to Saturday, Gary Rowett's Millwall.
Millwall against Tom Brady's Birmingham.
We beat them last season at theirs, but we don't have a great record against them, do we? No is the answer to that.
I think the interesting thing for me is that a few weeks ago, the Millwall fans were calling for Gary Rowett to be sacked. And then they've gone and beat Stoke, haven't they?
Yeah, 1-0 with a Kevin Nisbet goal.
Yeah, we were after...
A lot of Blues fans.
In the Sam Cosgrove window, we got Cosgrove.
Yeah, we definitely
instead of Nisbet.
The winners there, weren't we? With that transfer debacle.
Yep. So I don't know whether they've. I know that Gary Rowett was trying to get Millwall to play a different style of football to what Gary Rowett is known for playing. I don't know whether they've reverted or whether that started to gel.
That everyone seems to be trying to do that, don't we? Don't they? So I think when they beat Stoke on Saturday, they had minimal possession and about half the amount of passes that Stoke had.
So it was rowdy football then? Rowdy ball?
It was rowdy football. They, I've just had a quick look now. When they lost to Bristol City, they 44% possession. And then Norwich, which they lost 3-1, 44% possession. So they quite like that. Yeah, interesting. They lost that game as well, but they're a team that when they have less possession, they seem to win, which is, you know, that is a Gary Rowett trait, isn't it? And it can work. And it, you know, it actually works. It works. It has worked for us in the past. Yep. As well.
Oh, with us not exactly controlling games at the moment, being happy with teams to play around at the back, Saturday might be interesting.
Yeah, I don't. It's
hot potato.
No,
to be fair, I think we actually do like having the ball, but we're quite happy for teams to have the ball at the back.
We're a lot more comfortable in possession now than we have been for a very, very long time.
Yeah,
and you know, we do play more intricate stuff, certainly in that final third. We're not afraid to spray it around the back as well, but we will get it forward and be direct when we need to. I'm assuming that it's going to be fairly similar for Millwall by the sound of it. It's such a tough one to call because they never really give too much away, and Gary Rowett is never going to want to come here and lose. Say come here. He's not coming to Northern Ireland, is he? But he's not going to want to go to St Andrews. And is it at St Andrews?
Yep,
it is, isn't it? Yeah, I just had a brain fart for a second then. Just there's so many home games condensed together there. Yeah. Just it felt
it's because
like
of the, it's because of the cup game thrown in there as
well.
Because
of the cup, yeah.
Well, should we get a guest prediction in?
Yeah, get a guest prediction. See who's saying what.
He can introduce himself.
Hello, it is Brummy Joe here. Giving my prediction for the Millwall game. I am going to go for a tight game. I think it's going to be 1-0, and I think Hogan continues his goal-scoring form. I think we've got a few more games of that left. Up the Blues.
Cheers, Joe. So there we go. Joe says 1-0, and Hogan to carry on his goal-scoring form. Vegan?
I've been somewhat gazumped there because I was going to go for 1-0 Hogan as well. We don't make a habit of beating Millwall, I think like once since 2018. But I'm going to go 1-0 Hogan, going for 3 goals in 3 games, well on his way to double figures, Chris.
Chewy?
Can I shock you? I want to go 1-0 Hogan as well.
I thought you were going to say 4-0.
Oh, I thought he was going 4-0 as well.
I would love to beat Gary Rowett at 4-0. I would love to beat him 4-0. I'm going to try and be different. I'm going to try and be different. I'm going to go 2-1. I think it's going to be a tight game. It is going to be difficult. I'm worried about how we'll react to midweek as well, actually, because that'll be the test of character after losing yesterday's game. We've been on such a good, it's been such a good vibe around the club that you wonder whether that defeat might knock them a little bit. I would hope it wouldn't. But I'm going to go 1-1 and I'm still going to go with Hogan to score. Yeah.
Well, just left for me to go 4-0 Blues. And I think I'm going to go Stansfield. I think 2 for Stansfield, 1 for Hogan, and 1 for Deion Sanderson.
So a quick prediction from the pair of you. Transfer deadline day Friday, I've already spoken about. How many players? What positions? Don't want names, just...
I think we bring in 3 more. We bring in a defender, utility, centre back, right back, a left sided centre back as well.
Interesting.
And a forward. Vegan?
Dave?
I'm just going to go for two, centre back and striker.
What about you?
Utility defender. So centre back, right back, ish. A centre midfielder, probably alone. Because obviously we've lost Alfie Chang now as well, which we haven't mentioned. So obviously, Alfie, I know you're an avid listener to the podcast. Get well soon, mate. Hope to see you back on the pitch soon enough.
I'm not and sure I'll he definitely... is, but yeah, get well soon.
You've just ruined it.
Got your Changi t-shirt on, Matthew.
I have, yes. Oh, yeah. I've actually got him tattooed on my belly. His whole face. I'm his biggest fan, Dave. And a striker. I go for a striker. So yeah, defender, midfielder, striker. All signs point to we are definitely looking for a striker alongside it, at least defender. And I think we need a centre midfielder to cover for Bielik and Sunjic if either of those two go down.
See how that plays out then next time that we catch up. And until then, enjoy the game at the weekend. Enjoy the international break if we're not back before then, because we might not be. Take care and keep right on.
Keep right on.
Keep right on.